إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، إخوان, as we come to the end of the nasiha and the advice of Luqman to his son, from the last of the things that he mentioned to him, alayhi salatu wassalam, is that he advised him in relation to his attitude. He said, وَلَا تُسَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. Don't raise your cheek to the people, meaning don't be insolent towards them. And he mentioned, وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Neither should you walk insolently and arrogantly in the land. Verily Allah Azza wa Jal, la yuhibbu kulla makhtalin fakhur. Indeed Allah Azza wa Jal does not love the makhtal, al-fakhur. The one that is makhtal, that is one who is arrogant him in and of himself. Fakhur, arrogant and insolent and boastful with other than himself. So these two characteristics, and we find them mentioned often in the Quran. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مَخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Allah does not love the one who is arrogant in and of himself, conceited, full of himself, and arrogant with other than himself, boastful, haughty with other than himself. For indeed there are two characteristics that revolve around him feeling and believing and thinking that he is better than other than himself. And then Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam, he said, وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشْيِكَ وَغْضُدْ مِنْ سَوْتِكَ إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَسْوَاتِ لَسَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ. He said finally, وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشْيِكَ. Have qasd in the manner in which you walk. And this term, waqsid fi mashyik, it is something that the scholars have discussed in terms of its meaning, that al-qasd is and revolves around one of two meanings generally the scholars mention. One, that is one walks in a balanced manner. And that balance we'll discuss in the narrations that are to come. And secondly, that one walks straight. And that is, if it is said, as the Arab they will say, أَقْصَدَ رَمْيَهُ. That is, he pulled his bow straight and aimed at his target. And so when he said, وَقْصِدْ فِي مَسْيِكَ, he was informing him concerning how he should walk. And then he mentioned, وَغْضُدْ مِنْ سَوْتِكَ, and lower your voice. For indeed, the worst of voices is the braying of a donkey. And so that final piece of advice revolved around him, advising him concerning how he should carry himself, and how he should deal with others. Look at this beautiful piece of advice from its beginning. Tawheed. The warning against shirk, الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر, enjoining the good, forbidding the evil, patience, all of that which his son will need throughout his life. And then he ends by advising him concerning how he should carry himself. And in essence, ikhwan, we have two types of adab being addressed in this final piece of advice. The first, adab al-mashi. The second, adab al-takhatub. The manner first and foremost of how he should walk. And secondly, adab al-takhatub, that is, the manner in which he should speak. Both of those affairs have been addressed extensively, bihamdillah, in our sharia. As it relates to the first of these affairs, we'll discuss today something from that. And in that which is to come, adab al-takhatub, we'll mention that, ikhwan, or the mannerisms of speaking, and the various ahkam and rulings related to speaking, that will address bi-idhnillah in that which is to come in the future extensively. As far as adab al-mashi is concerned, ikhwan, then of course we have a number of narrations as is the case, ikhwan, with our sharia, the likes of which has left nothing, ikhwan, and no stone unturned. Alhamdulillah, ikhwan, as it relates to walking and the adab of walking, then no doubt, ikhwan, it is the same. That is that we have detailed, bihamdillah. This advice of Luqman has in it a few affairs as we have mentioned. It has in it that he should, or when he addressed him in relation to his walking, that his walking should be one that is, ya'ani, upon qasd, that is balanced. As it relates to this balance, the scholars of tafsir, they mentioned that huwa al-i'tidal. That is that he is between extremism and negligence. And that, no doubt, ikhwan, is something that is explained and clarity is brought as it relates to the nature in which he should walk. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he mentioned, كانوا ينهون عن خبب اليهود ودبيب النصارى ولكن مشيا بين ذلك. That is that the salaf of this ummah, they used to prohibit خبب اليهود, that is the heavy trot of the Yahud. When the Yahud used to walk, they would walk with a heavy trot, arrogant, heavy trot. And so the Salaf used to prohibit this heavy trotting of the Yahud. And likewise, they used to prohibit Dabib al-Nasara, that is the light-footed, sluggish creep of the Christians. They would prohibit that likewise, that one walked extremely gently and having this light-footed creep that they would have. And so it is that a person does not walk with an arrogant trot. Neither does he walk with a light-footed creep. Rather, it is between those two affairs. Al-Imam Ibn Kathir, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentions the narration in Bidayah wa Nihaya from Aisha radiallahu anha, who said, he mentioned concerning her, نظرت إلى رجل كان يتماوت أو يتماوت في مشيته. That she looked at a man that was walking with تماوت, which is that he was walking slow and sluggishly. And so, قالت ما لهذا? She said, what is wrong with him? And so it was said to her, إنه من القراء. It was said that verily he is from the reciters. That is Hafid al-Quran, yani proficient in terms of his method and his manner of narrating, of recitation. And so she said, radiallahu anha, kana Umar radiallahu anha, radiallahu anhu, Sayyid al-Qurra, wa kana idha masha asra', wa idha qala asma', wa idha daraba awja'. That she said, radiallahu anha, Umar radiallahu anhu, he was the leader of the reciters. But when he would walk swiftly. And when he would speak so as to be heard. And when he would beat and discipline, he would inflict pain. He mentioned Falmurad. Therefore, as the scholars mention, Ibn Kathir, he mentions that the intent behind this Isra' and this hasty or this swift walking is that it is quicker than this. It is between Afwan, this small or this light-footed creep of the Yahud, of the Christian, and this swift, heavy, arrogant trot of the Jew. Similarly, we have another narration that Ibn Kathir himself mentions from Umar radiallahu anhu, that he saw a rajul or a man mutamawitan, similarly walking in this slow manner. And so he said, la tamut alayna dinana amatakallah. He said, when he saw him walking slowly, don't kill our deen for us, amatakallah. And that, ikhwan, this statement of his, don't kill our deen for us, that the people look towards you, ayyuhal Muslim, and the manner in which you carry yourself. And so to walk in this sluggish manner, that it does not project this affair of the uprightness and the shuja'a and the active and the energy of the Muslim. Rather, it is and projects the opposite. And so they used to dislike that a person walked in that sluggish, slow creep. Similarly, he saw another man, that is Umar, lowering his head as he walked. And so he said, Irfa ra'sak, innal islam laysa bimariyab. He said he saw a man lowering his head as he walked. And so he said, raise your head, for indeed Islam is not sick. Again, ikhwan, the Muslim, he carries himself in a noble, upright manner. Doesn't carry himself as though he is ill or weak. In that regard, likewise, we have the benefit that we take from the walking of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have a number of narrations, ikhwan, concerning how the Messenger used to walk. From that, we have the statement of the Messenger, or the statement, ikhwan, or the narration that occurs in the Mustadrak of Imam Hakim, that mentions that the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was azhar alone. That is, he had a bright, clear, white complexion. He said, وَكَأَنَّ عَرَقَهُ لُؤْلُؤْ. And it was as though his sweat were beads of pearl. Likewise, he mentioned, نعم, وَإِذَا مَشَى تَكَفَّأَ. And when he walked, تَكَفَّأَ. And this term the scholars mention, Imam al-Manawi and Imam Ibn Hajar and others, that it is a reference, likewise in Nawawi, that it is a reference to a swift walk. That the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would walk briskly, and he would lean to the left and to the right as he walked. And it occurs in another narration that when he would walk, it would appear as though he was a man walking down a slope. And that is, as our scholars likewise have mentioned, it is that he was, in terms of him raising his foot and placing his foot, that he would do so in a firm, brisk, swift manner. And that when he would walk, he would move left and right as he walked. And that no doubt indicates that he would have a firm, swift trot, a firm, swift step and swift pace as he would walk. That is, he would not have the slow creep and the light-footed creep of the Christian. Neither would he have the fast, brisk, arrogant trot of the Yahud, but a swift walk that was between that. Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned concerning another hadith that mentioned that the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا مَشَى تَقَلَّعَ, that when he walked, تَقَلَّعَ. He mentioned that this statement, it refers to him raising his foot and placing his foot. That is, he would raise his foot, he would not drag his feet as some people do. Rather, he would raise his foot and place his foot. And he would take firm steps as he walked. And there is another hadith that mentioned, إِذَا مَشَى لَمْ يَتَلَفَّتْ. That is, if he walked, he would not yetalaffat, meaning yeltefit, that he would not look left and right. Rather, he would walk with his head faced in front of him. There was a narration that was authenticated by Sheikh Nasir in Sahih al-Jami'. And that is that he would not walk, he would not look left and look around him as he walked. Rather, his head would be in front of him and he would walk with that swift, brisk pace. And he would turn if there was a need to do so. And so, Ikhwan, from the adab of mashi and from the adab and the mannerisms then of walking, we have one, that which is related to walking with the walk and the pace of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, briskly, with firm steps, and that a person does not have that slow crawl of the Christian, nor the arrogant pace of the Yahud. Similarly, we have from the adab, ikhwan, of al-mashi, as occurred in the nasiha and the advice of Luqman to his son, that one does not walk khuyala, that is, that one does not walk arrogantly. And that no doubt occurs in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. He said that indeed a man will not enter Jannah who has in his heart an atom's weight of kibar. And so a man said, O Messenger of Allah, indeed الرجل يحب أن يكون ثوبه حسن ونعله حسنة. He said, verily, a man loves to have a nice thawb, and he loves to have a nice pair of sandals. And so the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم responded by saying, إن الله جميل يحب الجمال الكبر بطر الحق وغمط الناس. He said that verily Allah is beautiful and he loves beauty. And kibar, pride, is that a person, he rejects the truth and he looks down upon the people. Not no doubt it is projected oftentimes by the arrogant in the manner in which, and those who are arrogant and conceited, in the manner in which they walk. The manner in which they walk and look upon the people. That arrogance that they have is projected in their body language and their manner of carrying themselves. Likewise, from the adab and the mannerisms of al-mashi is ghaddul basar. That is that a person lowers his gaze when he walks. And the fact that the Messenger of Allah would walk with his head in front of him does not necessitate, ikhwan, that he did not lower his gaze. And of course, one has the ability to detect or to see that which is around him in his periphery vision. And if he is able to detect the presence of a woman and the presence of the opposite sex, then he lowers his gaze. He remains firm in his manner of stepping and his manner of walking, and as brisk as he, the Messenger of Allah used to walk, and likewise keeping his head in front of him. But he lowers his gaze. And that, brothers and sisters, is something that relates to the eyes, not to the head. Something that relates to the eyes. Now, similarly, ikhwan, from the adab of mashi is ilqa salam, that is to give salam. And verily, from the signs of the last day is that which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam described as as-salamu bil ma'rifa. That is that from the signs of the last day, individuals used to give or will give salam based upon ma'rifa, based upon the fact that I know him. And that the origin is that the Muslim, he gives salam upon the one that he knows and the one that he does not know. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man asked him, Ayyul Islam khair? Whose Islam is best? Which form or which type of Islam is best? The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he responded, An tut'imu at-ta'am wa taqra'u as-salam ala man 'arafta wa man lam ta'rif. That is that you give or that you make food for the people, and that you give salam to those who you know and those who you do not know. Similarly, ikhwan, from the adab al-mashi, from the mannerisms of walking, particularly walking to salah, is al-mashi ila salah bis-sakina. That is walking towards salah with sakina, with tranquility and composure. And that one does not hasten. And it is something that we see oftentimes, that when a person hears that the ruku' or the imam is reaching his ruku', that he hastens and rushes to catch the ruku'. And that is something that has been prohibited. And when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a man or learnt of a man racing to the salah in order to catch the ruku'ah, that he raced to the salah and then he entered the masjid. While the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in ruku'ah, he made ruku'ah in the middle of the masjid and then he walked in ruku'ah until he joined the row. And so after the salah, the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, زادك الله حرصا ولا تعد. He said, may Allah increase you in ardentness, but do not repeat this. And Sheikh Al-Albani and others from Ahlul Ilm mentioned that the intent behind that is not that he should not repeat making ruku' from the middle of the masjid and walking to the row. Rather that he should not repeat hastening to the salah. And as it relates to that, the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said in the hadith of Abi Huraira, رضي الله عنه in Sahih Bukhari, he mentioned, إذا أقيمت الصلاة فلا تأتوها تسعون وأتوها تمشون وعليكم السكينة فما أدركتم فصلوا وما فاتكم فأتموا. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, when you come to prayer, do not come to it while you are moving hastily. Rather come to it and walk to it with composure and tranquility. That which you catch, then pray, and that which you miss, then complete. And as occurs in another narration, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالسَّكِينَةِ وَالْوَقَارِ, يعني have tranquility and composure. That which you catch from the prayer, then pray, and that which you miss, then complete. Likewise, from the adab al-mashi related to salah, is walking to Jumu'ah. And that is on the basis of the great reward that is present within that. And ikhwan, the reward for that is عظيم جداً. In that regard, we have the hadith of Aws ibn Aws al-Thaqafi, who mentioned, رضي الله عنه, that سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من غسل يوم الجمعة أو اغتسل ثم بكر وابتكر ومشى ولم يركب ودنا من الإمام فاستمع ولم يلغو كان له بكل خطوة عمل سنة أجر صيامها وقيامها. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whosoever makes ghusl on the day of judgment, on the day of Jumu'ah, and performs it well, and he leaves early and proceeds from his home early, and he walks and he does not ride, and he comes close to the imam, and he listens and does not make an utterance, then he has for every step that he takes the ajr and the reward of a year worship, of a year's worship. It's fast and it's prayer, each step. Not no doubt, ikhwan, is ajrun azim jiddan. Similarly, ayuha al-ikhwa, from the adab al-mashi and the adab of mashi, ikhwana, many. From the adab of mashi is that which is related, ikhwan, to leaving one's sandals occasionally. To leaving one's footwear occasionally. Upon the authority of Fudala ibn Ubaid, who mentioned, Abdullah ibn Buraydah, he said that a person from the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he traveled to Fudala ibn Ubaid while he was in Egypt. فَقَدِمَ عَلَيْهِ. And so he came to him and he said, أَمَّا إِنِّي لَمْ آتِكَ زَائِرًا وَلَكِنِّي سَمِعْتُ أَنَّ وَأَنْتْ حَدِيثًا مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam رَجَوْتُ أَنْ يَكُونَ عِنْدَكَ مِنْهُ عِلْمٌ. He said that I have not come to you, this person from the companions. He said, I have not come to you, and that is a reference to Fudala ibn Ubaid. I have not come to you on the basis of visiting you. But we both, I and you, heard a hadith from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I hope that you have some knowledge concerning it. And so he said, Mahu, what is that hadith? He said, it was such and such a narration. قال فما لي أراك شأثا وأنت أمير الأرض. He said, so after he narrated the hadith, he said to him, what is it? Why is it that I see you disheveled? And you are the Amir of the earth. That is the Amir of the land that he was in. He said, and in response, إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَانَ يَنْهَانَا عَنْ كَثِيرُ الْإِرْفَى. He said, verily the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم used to prohibit us from being, or from irfa, that is, from over burdening ourselves with combing and with presenting ourselves by way of this combing and what have you. And so he said, "Qala famali la arak alayka hida." He said, "So why is it that I don't see you wearing sandals?" He said, "Kana an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ya'muruna an nahtafiya ahyanan." He said, "And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prohibited us, or he would command us rather, to leave our sandals occasionally." He commanded us to leave our sandals occasionally. And that then, ikhwan, no doubt, is from the adab of al-mashi, and from the adab related to how a person carries himself, ikhwan, in terms of how he walks and how he steps and his manner of walking. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. Similarly, أيها الإخوة, from the adab related to al-mashi, related to walking, is that which is related to the affair of the walking of the women. And from the adab that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم taught his companions is the manner in which the women should carry themselves upon the tariq and upon the path. Upon the authority of Hamza ibn Abi Usaid al-Ansari, who narrates from his father, who mentioned that he heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul wa huwa kharijun min al-masjid fakhtalat al-rijal bin-nisa fi al-tariq. He heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, as he exited the masjid and the men and the women were mixing upon the path. Yani the men and the women, yani they were in close proximity upon the path. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لِلنِّسَاءِ اسْتَأْخِرْنَا فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَكُمْ أَن تَحْقُقْنَ الطَّرِيقِ. He said to the women, put yourselves or place yourselves to the edges of the path, for indeed it is not for you to take up the middle of the path. عَلَيْكُنَّ بِحَافَاتِ الطَّرِيقِ فَكَانَتِ الْمَرْأَى تَلْتَسِقُ بِالْجِدَارِ حَتَّى إِنَّ ثَوْبَهَا لَيَتَعَلَّقُ. He said, so the women, they used to walk, and on occasions they would put their or place themselves upon the wall as the men would walk through, removing or moving from them, to the extent that their garments would touch the wall. And that, ikhwan, no doubt, is from the adab of walking as it relates to the women. And that, no doubt, ikhwan, is something that we saw manifest at the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it remains the sunnah. It remains the sunnah. And now we see that the affair is reversed. That when sisters are walking past, brothers move out of the way for the sisters. Brothers, will you move to the side? And that, brothers and sisters, is in opposition to the sunnah. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded them, the women, that you should not take up the middle of the path. And that is no doubt not considering, or not on the basis of considering, women second class citizens. La. But that is a sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we are not, ikhwan, taken by the peer pressure, the various peer pressures that afflict those who are affected, ikhwan, by the modernism of the ikhwan and the likes. Rather, ikhwan, we have a sunnah that our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left. And that is that which we remain upon. Bihamdillah. Similarly, from the adab of the tariq, and the adab of the path, and the adab of mashi, is that adab that relates to al-mashi ma'al-ghayr, walking with other than oneself. That we have an adab as it relates to one walking with someone else. From that, we have the adab of the saghir ma'al-kabir, the adab of the mannerism of the one who is younger walking with one who is older. In that regard, we have the statement of Ibn Aqil, rahimahullah, who mentioned from the great imma of the Hanabila, he mentioned, "Man masha ma'a insan, fa in kana akbara minhu wa a'lam, masha an yaminihi, yaqimuhu maqam al-imam fi salah. إذا كان سوا استحب أن يتخلى له عن يساري حتى لا يضيق عليه جهة البصاق وامتخاط." He mentions that indeed, if one is walking with someone that is greater than him, that is either older in age or knowledge, then he should walk to his right, and he should position him the same way one positions the imam in salah. And that he should leave for him the left-hand side if he wishes to eject something from his mouth or spit. Similarly, Ikhwan, we have the statement, or that which has occurred from some of our scholars, from the narration of Ibn Umar, when he was visited by those two individuals from the Tabi'een who sought to question him, that when they approached him, they came to him, and one stood on his left and one stood on his right. And some of Ahlul Ilm held that they were walking as they spoke to him, indicating that if a group of individuals approach a person of knowledge, that they walk, that they surround him, that they walk around him. And from the adab is that they do not step in front of him, rather that they stand slightly behind him as they walk. And that, no doubt, Ikhwan, is present, no doubt, in the books of adab, particularly the adab of the talib ilm. Al-Imam Khalal, he narrates from the adab, or concerning the adab and the mannerism of walking, from Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, who said that Imam Ahmad said that if one is following an individual, that is, if one is lesser, either in knowledge or in age, or in station, then يمشي عن يمينه, then he should walk to his right. Likewise, we have the narration and the statement which was collected by Imam Khalal, who narrates from Abdullah ibn Ahmad, Abdullah the son of Imam Ahmad, who said that my father said, ما كان أعقل بشر بن المفضل, how intelligent and astute Bishr ibn Mufaddal was. He said, he was, or kana Bishr, a son min Mu'ad ibn Mu'ad, that he was older than Mu'ad ibn Mu'ad. Wa kana Bishr la yakhruj min al masjid hatta yakhruj Mu'ad ikraman minhu li Mu'ad, that he did not used to leave the masjid until Mu'ad left out, considering him more knowledgeable than him, and so he would await for him to leave. Likewise, that great imam from the A'imma of Mecca, from among the Salaf, Ibrahim ibn Sa'd, he saw a group of youth walking, and they were walking in front of the shuyukh. They were walking in front of the people of knowledge. And so when he saw that, he became angry. And he said, "Ma aswa adabakum, la uhadithukum sana." He said, "How bad your manners are. Indeed, I will not narrate to you now for a year." Not, no doubt, Ikhwan, was on the basis of this intent to discipline those individuals who had done so. Similarly, we had that which is established in the Sunnah, from giving precedence to those who are older and those who are greater in age. And that is the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu in Sahih al-Bukhari, that the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Arani atasawwak bisiwa." I saw myself in a dream using the miswak. He said, فجاءني رجلان, and two men came to me. أهدهما أكبر من الآخر. One of them was older than the other. فتناولت السواك الأصغر. He said, so I gave the siwak to the one that was younger. And so it was said to me, and in some narrations it mentioned that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said to me, Kabbir. And in some narrations, أدفعه إلى الأكبر. That it was said to me, Kabbir, يعني give it to the one that is older. Give it to the one that is older as opposed to the one that was younger. And so Imam Ibn Battal, he said, فيه تقديم للسن في السواك وينتهق به الطعام والشراب والمشي والكلام. He said, in it, from mannerisms, is giving precedence to the one who is older in giving the siwak. And what is likened to it is in food, in drinking, in walking, and in speaking. As it relates to food, from the mannerism, if one sits with the alim, that he waits for the alim to begin eating. And that is from the manners that we see manifest up until today, bihamdillah. Likewise, as it relates, ikhwan, to drinking, and as it relates to walking, that he allows the scholar, or that he does not walk in front of the alim, from the manners of walking with him. And likewise, as it relates to speech, that he does not speak before the one who is more knowledgeable than him, or older. He does not speak before the one who is more knowledgeable or older. And as it relates to the affair of knowledge, then of course, ilm is given precedence. If the speech revolves around ilm, then without doubt, ikhwan, knowledge is given precedence. And it is not, ikhwan, it is not a necessity and a must that I come in and I answer and I come in and I speak. As much as one would desire or may desire to speak, rather one observes the adab of the old, or the of the those who are older and those who are given precedence in terms of knowledge, manifest those adab, ikhwan. For indeed, if we do not do so, then those mannerisms will die. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى يوفقنا وإياكم لما يحبه ويرضى صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.